This is the November 5th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 35 for property ID 24760000, and the property is owned by Anoop Abraham. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have Mr. Abraham here for the appellant. If you could please raise your right hand now to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2024. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as to the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions on procedure, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Thank you. I do not have any further questions. I want to review the document or the comparables that the assessor used in order to make a statement about how the current valuation of the property is not representative of the comparables. A good example to start on is comparable number 5, where the assessor has listed the property's adjusted sale price as $385,000. That property has had significant renovations, including the non-living area basement being renovated, and it is a two-bedroom, two-bath, whereas the property in question here, 3018, U Street, is a one-bedroom, one-bath. It's a house that is double the size with significant capital improvement that is used as a comparable to adjust my property value. And the same applies for property number, comparable number 4, comparable number 3, and comparable number 2. All of those properties, if you look at the listing, has had significant capital improvement. Property number 2's listing starts off with the statement that the property has had over $100,000 in capital improvements to bring the property up to new code and new standards. I've not had that. My property was purchased 2 years ago for $210,000. It was purchased in open market. It was not purchased on any closed-door deals. It was purchased through a brokerage that listed the property. The seller was on the market for 3 to 4 months with no deals, no offers, and there were no backup buyers. There were no other offers on the table, and I purchased the property. And after purchasing the property for $210,000 and not having any capital improvement on the property, and for the listed period, for this property, the property did not have any heating, any centralized heating element. There were no baseboard heating. There were no gas furnace heating. There was nothing available on the property. However, it is worth, according to the assessor, $315,000 or $320,000 at this point. And I think that is an overestimation of what the property's value is, because no one was willing to pay that 2 years ago, and no one even currently would be open to paying that. Comparable number 1 is probably a good estimation of what the property value is, but the rest of the houses that are listed here, even that had improvements, but all the other comps that are listed here do not represent the property in any way, because they have had significant improvements, and they were sold with significant improvements listed. I did not have that. And especially 4 and 5 have more bedrooms than I do, and all of these properties were listed with capital improvements in their description. And I submitted this on my comments when I asked for the appeal as well. This is the primary reason I'm asking for this appeal. Because my property value did not change by almost 50% in the last year.
Have you added heat to your home or done anything to it since you bought it?
I added heat to the house about 3 months ago. And I went through the county process of getting approval and went through the electric company as well in order to tap into the panel. But that was done before this assessment was done.
Sure, I understand. Or
that was done after this assessment, sorry.
What kind of heat did you add? Wall heaters or?
Before?
No, what did you do 3 months ago? I'm just curious. Did you add wall heaters or?
Mini splits. I forgot the specific name for it, but the
mini
wall.
Mini splits, yeah. It's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
And you haven't done anything else to the property since you bought it?
I have not. Okay. I have cleaned it up.
And you're saying, I mean, they're listing your property as being effective year built as 1950. It was year built in 1920, but the effective year of 1950. What makes it updated to 1950?
So in 1950, what they did, and I'm assuming here, a couple of things that they did, I think they dug out a basement where the washer and dryer currently sits. And the dugout basement is about 5.5 feet, so you kind of have to scrunch a little bit to get to it. Yeah, I'm only 5'7", and I have to duck a little to go through it. It is not a finished basement in any way. It doesn't have an egress window. It doesn't have clean floors. It just has a washer and dryer.
Is it cement?
It is cement.
It's cement, okay.
Yeah, it's cement. It's cement, and it has the support beams in the basement.
Sure. But rock or any of that.
Do you think that's the only thing they did?
I want to say yes, because that's the only thing that I am aware of. They also built a garage at one point, which you can see in the pictures. That is technically attached to the house, but not really attached to the house. It is touching the house, but there isn't a path to the garage, other than from the outside of the house. There is that as well. I would assume that is in the 50s as well. I don't know when those improvements were done. The person who lived in this house before me was elderly, and he lived in this house for about 40 years, I believe, 30 to 40 years.
And it was sold for a realtor, you said. You had a realtor, and the other party had a realtor also?
Yep. I believe the realtor was Kelly Williams.
Yep. You wrote it.
So, okay. Yeah, so it was a massive realtor. They had multiple offers, or multiple people come through, but they did not get any offers. It went into contract at one point for $250,000, which is, and the seller backed out because they could not get financing. And that was the only other offer they got that lasted for, I think, about less than a week. That's where I have an issue with the current valuation of this property, because I did not buy this in any kind of closed deals. I bought it as it was sitting. You can drive by this house right now. It looks exactly like when I bought it, with the exception of the plants and trees, some of the plants and trees that were close to the house being removed. The exterior of the house hasn't been painted. The windows that you see in the pictures, if you go into Google Maps right now, are the exact windows that exist, which are wood windows from whenever they updated it, single panel wood windows. And with absolute honesty, if anyone wants to even offer me $300 for it, I'll take it. So,
were you able to get financing?
I did not get financing for this house.
You didn't, okay. I don't have any other questions.
I don't have any questions on it.
I'm good. All right. You'll hear from us within 30 days.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys hearing us.
Yeah.
hearing me and being here, and I appreciate this. Thank you very much.
Okay. Close the hearing.
This is the November 5th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 41 for property ID 19907600005. The property is owned by Mitchell and Crystal Anderson. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We do have Jeremy Clifford here for the assessor's office, and we have Mitchell Anderson here for the appellant. If you could both now please raise your right hands to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2024. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as to the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions on procedure, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
No, I don't think I do. I just know that my property tax continues to go up, and that there does not seem to be any adjustment for the market. And it's not taking into consideration the neighborhood that I'm in, and I feel that it is just the incorrect amount each year. I don't really have any comparisons or anything. I just feel that it arbitrarily keeps going up, and it's not a true reflection of the property's value given its location, age, and everything else.
Well, in order for you to prevail in these hearings, you have to demonstrate that your property is not comparable to the properties in your neighborhood, or that they're not comparable to similar properties in other neighborhoods.
Okay, well, I don't have that sort of information or access to that information, so I don't know how to go about this. This is like the first time I've ever done it. I've just seen every year it keeps going up, and there's never an adjustment going down.
Well, there's access to information and online through the county website, the property information system that's on the county website. You can call and seek some assistance if you need to.
Okay. I guess I don't really have anything further to add than just that I feel that it just continually goes up, and it's not making considerations. It's showing an incorrect amount. I guess I have nothing further at this time.
Okay, do you have anything, Jeremy, that you want to add to this?
Yeah, thanks for having me join in here. I did want to just start off by saying that the 2023 assessment, which isn't this one, but the appellant's assessed value was at $826,134. 2024 assessment, it went down slightly to $819,723. So that is a minor decrease in value. And then, although uncertified, the 2025 value is showing an even more decrease to $813,485. So it's gone down the last two assessment years since 2023 when it peaked. And the reason for that is we use 2022 sales for 2023 and 2023 sales for 2024 valuation. So the market didn't really peak until about midway through 2022. And so we do use sales from the previous year to the assessment. And so we are about a year or two sometimes behind the trend line. But it does look like with your assessment, the trend has been identified, and it's although not very much, creeping down the last two assessment years. Also,
okay, but I guess, I was unaware of that, I guess.
Yeah, it hasn't gone down much from 826 to this year, 2 years after that, 813, but it's definitely not increasing. I also just wanted to say, as far as to the board's point, the burden is on the taxpayer who files the appeal to prove that the assessor's value is incorrect, or at least make that argument. And what they don't accept is comparisons to other assessed values in this argument, and, or, you know, price per square foot of land or total assessed value. Typically, we'd want you to show you some comparable sales in or around your neighborhood that would want you, you know, at least give some indication that the assessor's office has misvalued your property. In this case, I was able to find 4 decent sales within 2 miles, one within about a half mile, with very similar characteristics to the home that supports the assessed value of 819,723. And with that, I will end my argument here.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. It appears I may have wasted the board time, so I don't.
Oh, no.
I was just reading the back that you could appeal this and thought, you know, that you know, I'm having to live with these particular neighbors behind me and know that when I go to sell my house, it's never going to be able to reach that because of the compound behind me. And I feel like I need some sort of relief for that. But again, I don't have that information at this time. So
you need some level of comparability to other properties. And if there is a nuisance behind you, then you have to have some proof of that and I guess put some kind of value to it.
Okay.
You just have to be a little creative in getting that information available.
Okay. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Closing.
This is the November 5th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for the property before us. The hearing before us involves petition number 71 for property ID 18027100, and the property is owned by Robert and Monica Barnes. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have Monica here for the appellant. If you could please raise your right hand now to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to remind you or let you know that we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2024. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions on procedure, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay, well, first of all, this may sound cheesy, but I was just reflecting on how this is election day, and I was just reflecting on it's just great to live in a country where we can vote and where we can have processes like this to appeal when we feel like, you know, something needs to be done. So I just want to thank you for your time to be part of this process, and I appreciate also that we appealed last year, and you guys, we did get the decision last year that you had said that we had presented a clear and cogent and whatever the other word was argument for why our value was accurate, and so did lower it last year. And that is part of the reason that we're appealing again, is it, as you guys had stated, it's a year after year kind of process, and so they, when they reassessed it, they popped it kind of right back up to what they did the year prior when I was appealing in 2023, and so they popped us back up to like $1,247,000. And but while they did, I appreciate that they did come down a little. They sent me a letter that after we sent this in, that they did bring it down by, you know, like $39,000. I still feel like it's overvalued for the comparables that I found, and I'm sorry if I overwhelmed you with like 12 comparables this time, but what we found is it's hard to find houses just in Richfield only that are selling that are only 3 or 4 years old like ours, you know, and that are our size or about. So we did kind of look throughout the county just because when I look just in Richfield, there's just most of the things that sold were much larger than ours, and it was just hard to find things that were very similar. So that's why I, you know, brought in the search to the whole county. But so I used a similar process that I used last year, and just felt like it's the values have sort of held from last year. So that's why I kind of came up with the same basic amount. You know, I accounted for the land value going up, but felt like the house value as it's getting older, it may, you know, it's probably a wash between the fact that values went up a little, maybe 1 to 2% from what I read on Zillow, but then our house is aging and I'm dropping things on my hardwood floor and whatever, cracking my granite a little or whatever. So I posited that it's about the same value that it was last year, but I guess I'm rambling now. So is there anything else? Do you respond or do we go back and forth? I can't remember.
Did you look at these properties that you presented or did you just get them offline?
Well, what I did for my process is I looked at what sold, and then I went and cross-referenced with the GIS. So I was looking at, I didn't physically drive to them, but I looked at the photos that were available on Zillow, and then I looked at the GIS and cross-referenced both of those and to try to find, well, in some of them you'll see, some of them are, I'm not very good at, you'll see I didn't put the adjusted amount because I honestly don't know how to accurately give a value for adjustment. I wanted to try to do that, but I don't really, but like you'll see that there's ones that, you know, are larger than my house, but by quite a bit. Like there's one that sold for on 61st Avenue that, actually, that is in Richfield, isn't it? And it only sold for $866, but they, you know, they didn't have a detached building. So it's just all of those little details. But most of the properties that I found were actually less sold for less than what we were suggesting. If you see, they're from as low as $840 up to about ours, up to about $1 million. I think the highest one I put on there was $1.1 million, which is about what I suggested. But that building that was $1.1 million actually is the one on 127th Avenue actually had 4 detached structures where we just have 1 detached. They had a 1,500 square foot general purpose building, a 1,344 square foot general purpose building, a 1,200 square foot lean-to, and then also a mobile. And so it was just kind of a, you know, like it's hard to do apples to apples here because I tried to find things that were as similar as possible, but like some of them didn't have an outbuilding like we have. Some of them, like I said, had more outbuildings. A lot of these were actually lower in value than what we're asking for ours, but some of them were a year or two older. You know, I don't know. You hopefully have a more precise way of doing your adjustments because I'm sorry if you were hoping that I was able to know what. Are you expecting us to know what to do with that adjustment call?
No.
Okay, thank you.
Well, you can talk to a realtor and they can give you an idea of differences in some of the adjustments. But yeah, it's not exactly a absolute scientific process. Even the adjustments that the assessor might make are guesstimates, if you will.
Yeah, and I mean, I didn't argue with the land valuing partly because we're in like forest management, and so we appreciate and understand that we're not paying a lot on our land anyway, and so I didn't try to argue that, but that is actually a really high value on the land as well because we paid $315,000 for it, and it's assessing now at $527,000, and just we bought it in 2021 for $315,000, and I realize we negotiated a good deal on that, but you know, our whole property is swathed as mostly habitat, and so there, you know, we had to actually do a habitat review to build, find a little spot to build, but we were looking at, you know, wanting to add a yurt to our property, and there was literally hardly anywhere where you could have put it because everything was, there was so much of it was riparian and habitat. So I didn't argue with the land value, but that is a pretty high assessment on the land. So, I mean, I could have probably taken issue with the 527, but I didn't, just because, like I said, I know it's in forest, and so so I didn't feel like I needed to be, you know, nitpicky about that because we're already getting a tax break on the land.
Well, and it might be, may have been a little high in your home because it's not a huge square footage home. I mean, 2,300 square feet is not, you know, a mansion.
Well, that's what our point was, is we, when we looked at the assessed value, we were like, this is not a big house. It's a little, you know, 2,300 square foot house. And we, you know, I know they were arguing that we built during COVID, which was the peak high of building. And so it cost us way more to build than normal circumstances because they jacked all the prices of building up during COVID. And so you can't really base it on, we have to look at what is this house worth right now. And, you know, we sold during the high as well. And so that was just a really crazy time in 2021 when we were building. But yeah, it is a 2,300 square foot house. It's not anything outrageous. It doesn't have tons of flourishes, but, and we like it. But, my husband designed it. He's a home designer, but, and then yeah, the office building, it has like a stamped concrete floor. It doesn't even have flooring in it. So it's, yeah, we just, I guess we felt like for the size of the house, it was being pretty, the amount per square foot, they assigned it a really high value for the structure.
Tell us about the extra land that you have, the 10 acres.
It's all rolling. It's not very flat. It's, we actually had to create a flat spot to build on it because the whole thing was sloped and we had to have a geotech come out and help us with that because it was, you know, considered a severe erosion hazard. So we had to hire a stormwater engineer and stuff because there was literally not really anywhere to stick a house. We had to kind of like, okay, we brought in dirt and, you know, so it's a very rolling property. It's beautiful. It's just, you know, it's mostly, there's a creek down at the bottom. That's all the riparian and the habitat. And so of course they require that you build at least a couple hundred feet from that. And so that's where we set the house. But yeah, it's lovely, but it's, and then we planted 600 trees on it, back in 2022. And so we're starting a little forest, you know, where we planting, because when we cleared, the trees were like, they were rotting at the bottom, and so once you start clearing, you start destabilizing. So we had to clear, and then we were replanting. So it's mostly just treed and yeah, just, how do you describe that? Rolling, hilly.
I don't have any other questions.
No, I don't have any questions on it.
Okay, and yeah, so, and I think you probably have the information from last year when we, it was our first year appealing in 2023, and we met about a year ago, so I don't know if any of that information is helpful.
Actually, all that information is archived, so every year it's a brand new appeal, so.
I uploaded it, though, to with mine. I think I uploaded last year's.
Oh, okay, that's fine. Yeah,
so that should be hopefully.
And we've got your appraisal. Got your appraisal here.
Well, and then I thought that somewhere in there we had the decision. I think I uploaded the decision. Oh, you're nodding. Someone's not.
Yeah, it's there.
It comes up. But in the packet there is last year's decision that you guys went with $1,000,001 last year or so.
So
I was just hopeful that from the information you had from last year's appeal and the comps that I found this year that kind of continue to support that, that hopefully that would work in our favor.
Okay, I'm good.
Yep, me too. Thank you.
I'm good. Thank you.
Thank you for your time. You guys have a good rest of your day.
You too.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Close here.
This is the November 5th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We will be reviewing late files submitted to the BOE. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. The first filing we do have is a good cause request form from Bridget Anderson. This is for property ID 11959-6036. They submitted a good cause request form. They are using reason B1, which I think states they were not... Let me get that up just to be 100% sure so we have the right wording. The good cause request form B states the taxpayer was unable to file the petition by the filing deadline because of the occurrence of all of the following. The taxpayer was absent from his or her home or from the address where the assessment notice or value changed. Notice is normally received by the taxpayers, so they are not present at the property. They stated, we purchased the property on August 21st, 2024. They show the purchase date and the appraisal doc. So I guess they're stating they were not present in the home because they did not own it at the time.
Say that again, the last part.
So they're using reason B on the good cause request form. The taxpayer was unable to file the petition because of the following, which is... The taxpayer was absent from his or her home or from the address where the assessment notice of value change is received. If the notice is normally mailed by the assessor to a mortgagee or other agent of the taxpayer must blah, blah, blah. That doesn't really apply. And then the taxpayer was absent as described in B1 of this subsection for more than 15 of the days allowed. So they're saying they were, I guess, absent from the property because they purchased the property in August 21st, 2024. And then they have the docs attached that show the purchase doc and the appraisal doc for that absence. I guess. I will say I was going to reach out for the request for reconvene form thinking maybe they meant that one for the recent purchase. But their purchase price is over 90%, so I did not want to assume that's what they meant when that one wouldn't have applied.
So the problem is because they didn't own it then? Is that what you're...
Right.
I think that's what they intend.
I think that's what it sounds like. They didn't own it, so how could they appeal it? But by the same token, I'm not sure why we ought to hear it either. We need another day to work,
Let's see, it doesn't fit the other one because it's not 90% in it,
Yeah, I did the math and I can show it to you, but I think it was like a little over 90% where the reason says under 90%, it was like 90.5 or something.
And are they filing too late because they didn't own it?
Yes, let's see.
By the deadline? Is that?
Let me see if I've got their notice of value. No, but I can pull up the notice of value and tell you when it was dated. I assume the June date, but we can verify just to be sure.
What was the June date?
Hold on one moment. Pulling it up. Yes, they received, or the property was sent a notice of value on June 6th, but it does look like it was sent to a previous owner, a Haley and Robin.
Because they didn't own it on June 6th.
Yes.
All right. On August 7th, the assessed value would have been posted in the account. Is that correct?
On August 7th?
What, is that when they bought it?
They bought it August 21st.
Oh, 21st, sorry.
No worries.
No. On August 21st, the new value as of January 1st was posted in the account because they got the notice of value is dated June 3rd. So it would have been posted in the account at that time. They would have had the information available before closing. And they should have done their due diligence and saw what the assessed value was at the date they purchased it.
Yeah.
Yes. So I don't think they qualified.
Yeah, I don't think they do, but...
Yeah, doesn't sound like it to me.
I mean, it doesn't matter where the notice was sent, and they were not there because they at the date of closing, the information was available to them at the closing, and I would have thought due diligence would have told them to look at it.
And their date of closing was that in August?
Yeah.
And they just now filed it just
October 24th.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I just don't.
No, I don't think it qualifies.
Okay. All right, we will move on to the next one then. This is a good cause request from Bodily Linda for property ID 265-517-000. She does not give a specific reason on the good cause request form, but wrote, did not receive within 60 days to respond, per usual. And she... She submitted a petition and then an envelope in her notice of value.
What do you mean didn't receive within 60 days? What does that mean?
I think she means she did not receive the notice of value within 60 days to respond. Like, she maybe didn't get it in that time frame, but... She does have it here. I'm not... Again, I reached out both by letter and phone for more specifics and did not receive any. So this is the only information I have available.
So she never received it, or she didn't receive it within the 60 days?
I mean, I think she did. She does have an envelope here with the notice, but I don't see a date stamp on the envelope, but the notice of value does have the June 6th date on the mailing date, but I don't know. We don't know when she received it. I don't have a date stamp as far as that goes.
Who is this person again, and how many times has she been to the board?
Linda Bodley, or Bodley Linda, depending on...
Not in recent years. I can... Let me check PAX. It can show me the history of the property. One moment. It looks like there was a protest or a BOE hearing in 2017 and one in 2018. And then she called the assessor's office in 2020 and then called them in 2024. But we haven't had an appeal since 2018.
Okay.
It looks like she called the assessor's office.
I don't understand what she's trying to say.
I don't either. That she just didn't get it in time, or because she just now filed, so she's just saying, I didn't get it within 60 days.
I guess if they couldn't respond even to your letter, I don't know why we should necessarily respond a whole lot favorably to listen to it. You wasn't that urgent, evidently.
So. What's the mailing address on the notice of value?
P.O. Box 370, the same one she presented with to us.
Yeah.
I don't see how she qualifies them.
No.
Okay.
I mean, she hasn't proved that she received it after the 60 days.
Yeah.
Everything else looks like they mailed it and it went to the right address, but she hasn't proved that it was a different date. She sends the envelope, but it doesn't have a date on it.
It does look in PAX that her call to the assessor's office for 2024 was on June 14th as well.
Really? I say no.
Yeah, I say no. I'm with you.
Okay, if you all agree on that. I didn't hear Lisa, but...
Yeah, no, okay. I'm fine with it.
Okay, perfect. And then our last one, I'm going to be honest, I'm not exactly sure this is name. It looks like it's broader choice. It is a good cause request form. They state that my wife, Dixie Reuter, always does the books. In February, she is diagnosed with, I'm not exactly sure what that says. It is an illness.
Oh, myasthenia gravis, yeah.
Oh, thank you, Lisa. In April, she was in hospital on a ventilator, in and out of hospice since then, and they use the good cause request. All right.
In the family?
Sorry, that phone call was loud. 3F, let's double check. Is the taxpayer is unable to find the... Yep, unavailable due to illness or unavoidable absence is the reason they used.
I could be sympathetic.
Yeah. Yep. It's okay.
Yeah.
All right, we will say yes to that one then. And I'll do some work on that mailing address.
Do we have Anderson yet?
No, I will send them a thing. Let me close this hearing. This is the November 5th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 44 for property ID 19189300, and the property is owned by Young Lee. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one here for the assessor's office, but we do have Ariel as the representative for the appellant, as well as Ryan Pruce. If you could both please raise your right hands now to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
I do.
Thank you. Just to remind you that we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2024. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions on procedure, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Yes, thank you very much. Very good to see everyone again. And just like my previous appeal back in March, I was extremely surprised to get this increased assessment value 6 months later, or even a higher assessed value. And the reasoning and everything else that we discussed before, and the appraisal that I submitted, I believe that everything still remains the same. Nothing hasn't changed. And there has been no other improvements, anything to the land and whatnot. So I invited Ryan Prusy today, who did the appraisal, to further highlight and explain a little bit more in detail, perhaps, about the appraisal that he did and the response from the assessor that he submitted for today's appeal. Ryan, would you like to continue and clarify the appraisal's response that I shared with you? Or I could read off your response that you shared with me.
Whatever you prefer. Does the board have a copy of the assessor's response in front of them?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Wait, one second.
I think that you could probably start off by reading kind of what my response was, and then I'm happy to supplement that if someone has questions or if there's more that needs to be said, for sure.
Okay, I'll do that then. So in regards to the appraiser's response, you should note that land purchased during 2021 and 2022 reflected a very, very different land development climate due to the 3% to 4% mortgage interest rates regarding homes and much more plentiful development capital from traditional bank lenders for land purchases and street utility infrastructure projects. The late 2022 to present, January 1st, 2024, interest rate environment is awful for both home buyers and developers. That fact has created much lower demand for residential subdivision land and much greater buyer leverage in dealing with sellers. Furthermore, the extreme size of our land does not lend itself well to the very rudimentary statistical analysis provided by the county. You will note that there are very few land sales greater than 20 acres. And the trend line shown is flat after about 5 acres rather than continuing to slope downward as parcel size increases. So based on their graph, 100 plus acres will be valued at the same $200,000 per acre value as something in the 5 to 10 acre range. They include one transaction that included 97 finished lots, which significantly skews the plotted trend line upward to the supported county value. The other transaction they lean on heavily is the 19.20 acres that sold for almost $6 million during 9/20/22. I would strongly recommend taking a hard look at the comp because it probably may have unique value adding features like contingency or adjacency to another new project, prime development features, enhanced entitlements, and or a much more central Clark County location.
So I'm happy to delve into any of those four or five topics to the extent that you want to hear. I just worry sometimes I might be speaking over the head of people and it not being helpful. But to the extent that it's helpful, I'm happy to go into any of those topics and either answer questions or be more specific in terms of the perspective that I was on taking.
Why don't you outline the four or five key measures that cause you to value the property at such a value lower than what the assessor does?
Yeah, I would say the general trend that we uncovered when we went and inspected the site and examined all of the available Clark County GIF information is that this is an extremely rare acreage. In that it is, you know, at best, it's marginally developable as subdivision lots. And I think where the assessor has misstepped is that the assessor is comparing these 30 acres to, you know, basically 1, 2, 5, 9, 10 acre sites, the majority of all these comps, and those comps are showing, you know, price per acre of, you know, $200,000-$300,000 each, $150,000 each, And that type of value is so much greater than what someone could afford to pay for 30 acres, especially when you're talking about the highest and best use of this site is not for residential subdivision to create lots, but we concluded that its most likely buyer would be a single rural residential buyer that would want to build a house on it or divide it in two and build two houses on it. The way that the topography is, with a lot of low-lying land and the hydric soils that are identified on the Clark County GIS system, show that it's got very limited potential to support structures. And I think that you were provided with a copy of our appraisal. If you specifically look at pages basically 25 through 29, it specifically shows the soils that make up this site and the fact that they are not anywhere near ideal. They've got very limited rating class and dwelling and small commercial building potential because of the fact that they flood easily and they have shrink swell issues. And so that appears to coincide with what the property owner's history has shown. It's my understanding that this property has been looked at by multiple potential subdivision developers, and none of them ever submitted any kind of offer to the property owner because this acreage wasn't of a caliber that would even prompt them to want to offer money for it. And so what we found was because of these soils, and also because of its extremely large size, and also because of where the utilities are in proximity to this site, the horizon of development is so far out that the value and the price someone could pay would have to be so discounted that it's not considered prime. The utility issue is shown on page 32 of our report. You see that there's no utility for water or sewer within more than 500 feet of this parcel, which effectively means that the developer of this acreage would have to finance the extension of a utility line for public sanitary sewer, public storm sewer, and public water across hundreds of feet to service the site. And typically the way it happens is that infrastructure gets built gradually as parcels surrounding it are gradually developed. So, it would take, 5+ years, perhaps even more, if the property owners around this parcel never sell and never get developed, for there to ever to be utilities at a suburban residential development capacity to allow for there to be water and sewer to potential lots. And so to me, there's, these multiple development obstacles that can't be overcome by a potential buyer without extreme cost and extreme time. And the market for this type of land, those types of costs and those types of time and delay issues always result in discounted valuation. And, I think that the assessor has not taken those specific instances into account in putting their value on this. It's just ludicrous that there's someone out there that would pay even $2 or $3 million for this acreage because of the fact that there's no immediate near-term exit strategy to improve the land and sell it as a lot or sell it as a smaller home site to somebody else.
Is this property being used for anything at the current time?
No, it's just complete raw land. There's nothing on it except a lot of different varietal types of trees and some that are considered protected, that adds an additional layer of complexity to any buyer.
I can't tell what kind of trees they are because it looks more like scrub brush to me. But
yeah, it's just a mixture. But there's brush, but there's also some mature trees as well. Okay. And the county identified them as there's habitat sections within it that would have to be surveyed, and any potential development plan would have to consider the preservation of at least some of those heritage type trees.
There are no structures or anything on the property. Is that correct?
That's correct.
None.
What is the property just to the south of that property? Looks like there's some big buildings on that one.
I would call that rural residential, kind of large lot residential, which is effectively the highest and best use that my appraisal concluded. In terms of selling it to someone right now with what use would be the most likely. And you'll see that there's a couple parcels out. You see where there have been some larger lots divided from some acreage, but those all occurred decades ago, and those more than likely utilized well and septic in order to allow for those size lots. And I don't think that the city would allow that within the city limits because of the availability of public water and sewer and the requirement to hook up to that to basically divide into neighborhood lots.
Well, I notice there's farmland to the north of it and farmland to the west of it and farmland to the east of it. And I don't know, I can't tell what's down to the south of it. But none of this property is suitable for farmland, is that correct?
I think you could if you were to clear all trees out. And there might be some tiling you might have to do in order to alleviate some of the wetness of the soil. But certainly farmland, the value that we put on it was actually a farmland plus premium. We were at $45,000 an acre. Farmland without irrigation water is priced currently in that $10,000 to $20,000 an acre range for what most was considered somewhat prime farmland. So, you know, I don't feel like we've kind of leaned on that type of a value basis for this parcel, just because at the end of the day, there is outside development potential of it as suburbanization eventually crawls to the east and reaches it. But even at that point in time, which is, you know, 10, 20 years from now, you're still going to be challenged with some of these physical constraints, which is the low topography and the hydric type soils that the county says exist. But, you know, with the zoning on it the way it is and the fact that it is in the path of progress, you know, some sort of outside development horizon is likely, but it's just a matter of when. And as we've discovered in our research appraising sites like this, for every year of delay waiting for that type of surrounding development sprawl to happen, you know, is another 10% of value. That's the type of discount rate that most developers would assign to this type of site, is that, you know, they just can't bank on paying a big price for land like that and then have to hold it for such a long period of time and not be able to deploy their capital elsewhere within a reasonable 2 to 3 year period, which is the preferred procedure.
And also take into consideration that this land that's been in my family and the surrounding land as well, it's been 30 years and there's been no development of any kind within that time frame.
Are there spots of wet water, standing water or running water on the property?
I saw quite a bit of puddling when I was out there, but I was out there during the late faded, and you know, there was definitely, it wasn't dry at all. One way to look at is also in our appraisal, if you were to keep pushing forward to page basically 40, 41, 42, and 43, you get a real good sense of the type of comparable sales that exist from the local market, as well as, you know, some farther away areas in Clark County that all share that same sort of outer suburban location and development potential as this property does. I mean, we looked at 8 different transactions, 5 of which had closed, 2 were pending at the time of our appraisal, and then 1 was actually a listing of similar land nearby. And, you know, the highest sale was 135,000 an acre for what I would consider, you know, prime residential land. And I think that coincides with one of the assessor's comp that they had. But every other comp that we had ranged from only about, you know, 25,000 to as high as like 77,000 an acre. It's just unheard of to have values above 100,000 an acre for a site this large and a site this removed from surrounding development. And you'll see the aerial photos of each of the sales. If you look at them, they're very, very strong resemblance to how this property appears as well. And those photos are on pages 42 and 43. And it also shows the proximate development, or the development that is contiguous as well. And most of them aren't impacted or benefited by adjacent subdivision activity happening. Some have it closer nearby, but I think number 5 was considered the best, most developable piece. And you'll see there's what looks like kind of an upscale subdivision that's just to its east. There in Battleground. But like I said, that gives a good visual representation of the prices paid for land that looks quite similar to this. And is also better large.
Okay, I have no further questions. John, did you have?
No, I remember a lot of it from our earlier discussions this year. And nothing appears to have happened out there, so I'm good with what we've got.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, that's correct. I wish it wasn't so soon.
Well, be prepared to come back next year. Whatever we do, if we do
I'm
anything.
I'm sure the assessor's not going to give up on this one.
I wish I knew why, and I don't know how we can continue to stress that the assessed value on this property is incorrect and how it should be permanently corrected instead of having to appeal this unnecessarily and it's such an expensive, timely process. So any advice would be appreciated.
Unfortunately, we have to tell a number of people that, based on the circumstances, they're going to have to appeal every year.
Too bad.
To get this down to a reasonable value. So it's something you're going to have to do every year, and you may need to, they would claim that the appraisal would get stale after a while, and that's probably after a couple of years, and that it would need to be redone again, or at least update the appraisal.
Okay. So. Well, we've been debating with the county, I think, for at least 3+ years on this particular property, I wish it would stop.
Yeah, that's. It's
we see this. Yeah, there are several instances around the county of very similar properties, very similar effect, and you're all in the same boat. I don't know where you put it into dock and get something settled, but we have these a lot of them.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Well, I mean, just to jump in for a second here, one thing that could potentially be even better information than an appraisal is if you were to hire a realtor to put your property on the market for $3-4 million, something, you know, significantly less than the assessed value, and, you know, no offers over a period of, you know, 6 to 9 months, it's probably the best type of, you know, real market behavior evidence that you're ever going to get. And I don't know if that would be enough to get the assessor to kind of change the tune a little bit, but that's one option. That could cost you nothing. It might waste a realtor's time a little bit, but, you know, on the off chance that you sell it for $4, 5, 6 million, you know, it would be nice to be wrong if that was the case.
We've already tried that. I mean, it's on the market. It's out there. And for the last 5+ years, I have been aggressively trying to sell this property, but there has been no offers at all.
Offer it to the county for a 20% discount.
Well, really? I can do that?
From what their assessed value is.
Oh, okay. If that's an option, I would love to offload it to the county for 20% discount of what their assessed value is. I would definitely do that. Who do I need to call?
I was being a little facetious about that.
Oh, okay. I thought that was real. I would totally do it. Okay.
I've been worth by land bought by the public. The
assessor has to know that it's not worth that much, but...
Right. What was that, Ryan?
I said I've seen far worse land being be bought for public parks. When money's available, around down here south of the river, it happens all the time where, you know, great big parcels get picked up for that type of use. But it's kind of one of those things where the stars have to align. The money has to be there, and your site has to be the one chosen as being, you know, valuable for that particular use.
That's really good information. I'll have to figure out a way how I can get the county to buy our land for a park then. That's a really good option. Thank you for that.
Okay.
Well, I hope that all gets resolved.
Question?
No, I think I've got it.
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ryan.
Oh, you're very welcome. Let me know if I can help out more. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye. Everyone. Bye-bye. Okay, bye-bye.
Close the hearing.
This is the November 5th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 46 for property ID 15006-1000. The property is owned by Paul Ross. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present from the assessor's office and no one present for the appellant. I will turn it over to Chairman Daniel Weaver.
Since there's no one present for either party, we'll make a decision based on the information available. Any questions?
No questions.
No question.
Close the hearing.
This is the November 5th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 34 for property ID 25203-1000. The property is owned by Andrew Sherman. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have Andrew here for the appellant. If you could please raise your right hand now to be sworn in.
Yes.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2024. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you to further explain your appeal. I think you were in just recently, so we're pretty really recently familiar with your property.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yes.
Okay, well, I was just here recently, and I got the notification that said the property was valued at only $1,000. And so my assumption was that went to the assessor's office as well as, you know, I got a copy. And then later I get the letter that says, well, they're only going to go down to $22,000 or whatever they had said. And I was saying to myself, well, did they not receive that letter? Or I don't know what they're doing. However, yeah, the property is in dire straits because I had to have the septic tank removed last year. It was exposed on the bank, and it was going to be flowing down the hillside into the river there. So I had to have that removed. And then what happens is in the middle of winter, probably starting next month, when the high water flow happens, it creates a reverse whirlpool right there at the bank, and that aggravates the erosion even more. And so since I lost 25 feet in the last 2 years, this year it's going to be eroded all the way to the property line, I'm expecting. And then there's also Clark Public Utility has a power pole right there. And so I'll have to get a hold of them and explain to them that they'll have to move the pole because it's going to fall over into the river. Yeah, so that's what the issue is that's happening right now. And previously I tried to do a bank stabilization permit, and that I was able to get a large web placement from the Army Corps of Engineers, but I was not able to get anything from the county or the Fish and Game because the county wasn't recognizing me as a legal lot. So then finally I got purchased the property next door and was able to combine the two. And then they put me through hoops to try and for me to get a shoreline permit. That didn't go anywhere because then they came back and said, well, we actually want you to go and get the septic approval. And by then I had already started eroding, you know, like 15 more feet at the time. And I said, well, this is going to be too narrow. I needed to get the bank stabilization in place right after I bought the property. So that's what happened. And right now there's nothing I can do in terms of, it's going to be too late to try and apply for any permit to do any kind of bank stabilization. And there isn't enough space to put a dwelling there now because I lost the 25 feet of the upper.
Andrew, you said you had a letter that said they reduced the value to $1,000. I have the letter from the assessor that says they reduced it to $21,000.
For clarity, the $1,000, Andrew and Lisa, is our 2023 decision. So that was for your 2023 assessment for your 2024 taxes. They don't carry forward that decision. So 2024, they went back to the other value they offered.
To $21,000. After they went to $117,000, then they went back to $21,000. But we set it at $1,000 last year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Your request
was... The notification I received a little bit ago.
Your request was $21,304, and so they set it at $21,000.
Do you still want $21,304?
Okay, well, I'm kind of confused because I'm looking at this letter. It's the date of hearing, August 22nd, and the Board of Equalization value was $1,000. And so...
do you want $1,000 or do you want $21,304?
I want $1,000.
I think we've got some mixed up information on this thing because I'm looking at this. Your property is on Hayes Road, just out of Woodland, alongside the river. That's what we're talking about. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, but the property that I'm seeing on this appeal is a picture of a big garage barn type thing with an old mobile home located in Yakult. So I'm wondering if they've got things turned around.
Okay, Yakult was my other address.
Hubbard Avenue in Yakult. So
that's my other address. That's my house that I was living at. However, that was 606 North Hubbard. That was a regular house. And the picture of the building and the motorhome, that's what was on the, when you looked the property up in the county, that was the photo that they had on there when I originally bought the place that said, hey, it's got a building on here. It's got a proof for a mobile home. And that was the photo.
Okay, and that's what they had originally valued at $117,000. It looks like $117,800 or something, $117,500. And
right.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, but
that's all eroded away. There's no more. The building had to get torn down in 2016.
If you look at
before I bought the place
in his appeal, John, it's what we set the $1,000 on last time.
That's what I thought, but that's not what I have paperwork on.
Okay.
I don't have anything from last year in his information that shows last year's value. I didn't remember it.
We just got this. The decision was made on the 22nd, August 22nd. And okay. So I think that was after this hearing was scheduled.
So next year, if you appeal, if you have it, put a copy of whatever decision we make, put that in with your next year's appeal. It just makes it easier for us. I don't have any other questions.
Okay.
I think I understand it.
Okay, then.
Allison, could you show our decision for last year?
Yes, and it's likely our decision came out potentially after his evidence deadline. We really did just have this hearing. He's not incorrect. And Andrew, for clarity, that decision for $1,000 was the assessment year last year. We just had it so late. So it will be valued for your 2024 taxes as $1,000, but the assessor's office will not change it to that every single year. So that $1,000 is good for 1 year, but not for every year. You would potentially have to appeal every year for that.
Okay.
And I'm getting it up for you right now, Dan. Yes, so we had our hearing on August 22nd, and our decision was issued on the 4th of September.
Okay.
Let's get that up. So, yes, it was reduced to $1,000, and here is our content.
Okay. That's all I needed to know. Thank you.
All right. I think we have it. You'll hear from us within 30 days.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Close the hearing.